welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guy. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss the upcoming season, let's listen to a little bit of a conversation between Trevor and Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
All right. Well, this is the part where we normally bounce back to last week. It's a little bit different with the Jamboree, but just generically, how'd you feel about how it went last week?
I think we learned a lot about our team. I think we've learned how we respond in situations. I think we've learned what we need to fix and continue to grow on as a team. And while we were doing that, we also had our successes. So we had our failures, we had our successes, we had our good, we had our bad. And if we can continue to build on the good and start to eliminate some of the bad, then, I mean, obviously that's gonna bode for good things. But I thought it was really important for us being at home for our Jamboree that we kind of went through our pregame routine because it's all new and fresh to them. They've been doing things a certain way for, you know, their whole career here, and we kind of flipped it on their head and do things quite a bit differently in a lot of ways. So going through that routine and getting them to kind of understand what we're doing and how we're doing it, I thought was important. So we got that done and under our belt a little bit. And it was a pretty exciting night to see our kids continue to perform out here on the lights of Atkins Stadium.
Yeah, and then week one, you get to open the season at home against a conference opponent, brand new conference opponent at that. Just kind of what does that mean to you?
It's going to be exciting. I'm going to have to keep emotions in tow and in check a little bit. And it's kind of nice having the Jamboree at home to get a little bit of that out of the way to start with. But it's going to be fun. Most importantly, it's our seniors' first home game, first and last home opener, right? So they never get a chance to do this again, and I think that's what we got to focus on is getting them in the right position to be able to go out and play fast and enjoy that that Friday evening in Atkins Stadium. And excited to get going. New entrance, how we're going to come into the stadium, and I think everybody's pretty juiced up.
Yeah, and just rolling into Camdenton a little bit, preparing for week one is always a little difficult with you just have Jamboree film to go off of, and they're replacing a lot of production on offense. Just kind of from what you've seen, what kind of challenges do you expect their offense to present?
It is tough going into week one of what we're going to do and how we're going to see it and just going off of Jamboree. But also, I mean, coach has been there for a while. They've been doing the same thing offensively and defensively for a while, so you don't expect a lot of changes. I'm sure they're going to have wrinkles ready for us. I'm sure there's going to be some things here and there that we didn't prepare for, but that's where your entire summer and your fall practice comes into play, and making sure that we're fundamentally sound and that we can line up to things. And we have an answer to get back to our base if for some reason we miss on game plan type things. So tremendous program. Coach Pitch does a tremendous job, and excited to have them come in here to Atkins Stadium. And I'm sure we're going to get a great, great ball game out of them. And it'll be everything we can do to get it done and get a win.
All right. That was Jays head coach Eric Thomas. Trevor, since we just had you talk to Coach Thomas, I think that's the big thing. Obviously, we have a new coach for the Jays. So let's start there in terms of discussing the upcoming season. What does this mean for the Jays? And obviously, what are we kind of expecting to see from a Thomas-led Jays team this season?
I mean, obviously, the big note is he is a Jeff City graduate. I believe he graduated in 1993. He was a part of a state championship team. He has a pretty good pedigree as a coach. He spent the last 14 seasons at Lee Summit. He coached a lot of really good players, and guys like Drew Locke, who are in the NFL, Felix, that plays for the Chiefs now. So he definitely has a pedigree with being able to develop talent and and it brings a brand new system on the offensive side, brand new defensive coordinator that brings a brand new system on the defensive side. So basically what I've been saying is this team's a huge question mark because there's not very many kids back from last year's team, and everything's going to look a whole lot different. So it's a big change, and it's to be determined whether that's going to be a good change or a bad change results-wise.
Well, and again, it's change, but we've seen recently from the Jays, there's been a fair amount of change in this program in the last, you know, decade or decade and a half. It's been kind of lots of different things changing. So while I don't think it's maybe, you know, unexpected or unusual, it still is a change. So I think the biggest thing is, okay, let's start with the offense. You mentioned it. It's going to be a new offense. What are we expecting to see from this offense?
So it's going to be worlds different than what we saw the last few years under Damon Wells. It's going to be a spread offense. A multiple spread is what Eric Thomas has been calling it, because dating back to the Jamboree last week, they come out first play, they're in a wishbone offense. Second play, they're an empty. So they're really planning on being able to use a bunch of different formations. Most of the time, it's going to be three wide receivers, one running back, one tight end.
Okay.
That's what you're going to see a lot. But they're really priding themselves on being able to have just a very diverse offense and being able to hopefully beat teams in a number of ways.
So what does this maybe mean for, in terms of, how does this fit with the people that we've got coming back? I mean, how many returnees do we have on offense, and how different is it going to be from them having to maybe unlearn some things and learn some new things?
Yeah, I mean, there's three key pieces back from last year's team. Jaden LaViolette at running back, he got a lot of reps early in the season, and kind of that got phased out a little bit, but he really impressed his coaching staff when he came in. He's a strong kid with a low center of gravity that's going to be tough to bring down. Julius Lowry was one of the starting offensive linemen last year. He is moving to tight end because they really like his athleticism, and obviously with him playing offensive line last year, he's going to be ahead of the game as a blocking tight end.
Right.
And then Kendrick Johnson's the big name coming back. He was the top receiver on the team last year. Obviously, his numbers aren't going to look that great with a wing T offense. But when he did get opportunities to succeed, he most of the time did. And the most impressive part about that was he played all season with a cast on his hand.
Right.
So, yeah, he was catching passes with essentially one hand and a club. So really expect him to have a really big year. And then as far as the system goes for this type, I'm pretty excited because there's a lot of athletes on this team, and this offense is designed to get athletes in space and let the athletes make plays. And you saw that in the wing T offense, but it in my opinion, kind of limited the potential of the offense, especially against those top-tier teams like you saw against Tobias and Kearney. Those games where the offense really struggled. And this is going to present opportunities to kind of get those kids away from the line of scrimmage and making plays in space, and it should be pretty fun to watch.
So that is predicated on someone needs to get them the ball so they can use the ball in space. Who's going to be getting them the ball when it basically comes down to who's the quarterback that's going to be dishing the ball around?
So it was a question mark headed into the offseason. I heard a lot of different things. They brought Will Linthicum out, who's going to be a senior. He hasn't played football since his freshman year. There was a lot of hype around him being able to push the ball downfield. But the starting quarterback today is going to be a familiar last name, Alex Wilson, the younger brother of Jacob Wilson, who started at quarterback each of the past two seasons. He really won the job because of what's between the ears. He's a really smart kid. He's athletic. I was really impressed with his speed in the Jamboree last week. But he's kind of ahead of the game processing and post-snap and pre-snap stuff like that. So it's going to be him, at least for the time being, and it seems like they're pretty excited about him.
Yeah. So you mentioned that we're also going to see some changes on the defensive side. So let's talk a little bit about that side of the ball. Who's going to be leading that defense, and what are we going to kind of expect to see from said defense?
Yeah, so they're making a switch to a three-stack is what they call it. I've heard it mostly as a 3-3-5, and that's just going to bring an extra defensive back on the field. They only return two starters on that half of the ball, and that's Julius Lowry and Kendrick Johnson, like we mentioned on offense. But they're both moving positions.
Okay.
Lowry played defensive line last year. He's switching to middle linebacker. I expect him to kind of be the vocal leader of the team. He's a really intense guy. He's kind of a fun kid to be around. And I think he's going to be doing a lot of the getting people set. And then same with Kendrick in the secondary. He's switching from outside corner to kind of the nickel corner spot. He's going to play in the slot a lot. And he's been kind of tasked with setting the secondary, making sure everybody's in the right spots. And those two will be so important with so many new faces on the defensive side of the ball, just kind of helping the coaching staff, being those coaches on the field, making sure everybody's in the right spot, because that can be a struggle early on in the season.
So the new defensive coordinator is?
Larry Jefferson, okay. Jefferson City grad. He graduated the same year as Thomas, so they go way back. And from my understanding, he's bounced around to all sorts of different parts of the country coaching in years past and brings a lot of experience from a lot of different levels back to the program. And kind of rolling off that was a big talking point for Eric Thomas this preseason is I think it's 7 or 8 of the 10 coaches on the staff are Jeff City graduates. Okay. And then add in... I'm blanking on his name, but there was another coach that played under Thomas at Lee Summit. So okay. He kind of includes him in that family, so to speak.
Sure.
So they're really trying to bring that Jay pride that they talk about all the time to the coaching staff and kind of implement that in the kids.
So while you never would say when you're given a choice between experienced players and inexperienced players, you never say, I'll take the inexperienced ones. But maybe if you're in the situation where you are now bringing in a whole new scheme and a whole new coach, maybe it's not so bad that you don't have a lot of guys with a ton of experience who are going to have to maybe unlearn an old system and learn a new system. So I guess maybe if you're going to do it maybe with a less than super experienced group, it might be okay to be bringing in a new system.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's better to do that this year than it was last year. The senior class last year had just started to get used to the systems that they were playing
sure.
under. So this change last year would have been kind of a big adjustment for those kids, and it would have been the third coach that they'd played under
right.
in their 4 years in high school. So that would have been a lot of change, and it definitely would have been difficult. But like you said, for a group of almost brand new faces, it was going to be a starting point of zero almost anyway. So you might as well do it when there's a bunch of new faces. And it seems, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they've kind of taken a cautious approach of making sure they understand the basis of it. And they're really starting to add in the blitz packages and all the aggressiveness, and they plan to increase that as the season goes on.
I was going to ask you about that because that's something that we hear a lot with a 3-3-5 is it kind of, you have to be creative about when do you bring pressure, because you know you're going to have to bring pressure at some point. The three are probably not going to be able to do it on their own. So I think the big part of it is you're going to have blitz packages that you're able to execute on that maybe gives that 3-3-5 a little bit different look every once in a while. Sometimes that's a lot to ask for high school players, is to be able to, okay, you know, we're going to call something and we've got to make sure everybody knows exactly who's going, who's not, you know, who's hanging back, who's rushing. So I got to imagine that, yeah, that's probably going to be something where I would imagine we're not, what we see in week one is maybe not what we're going to see in week six, but in terms of just the variability of the defense.
Yeah, most definitely. And they made sure to make it a point. They didn't blitz a single time in the Jamboree last week.
Right.
And another key point of the 3-3-5 is that nickel corner type that's going to be near the line of scrimmage kind of has to be a dog, kind of has to crave contact a little bit.
Right.
And Kendrick's going to fit that role really well. He's a good tackler, especially for his size. And he's going to be kind of that aggressive type that they need. And yeah, I mean, it might take a while for them to get 100% used to the system, but a 3-3-5 is going to play a lot better against teams like Elias, teams like Rockbridge,
sure.
those spread offenses, kind of like Jeff City's running, that try and get athletes in space. And one thing they're really excited about for this defense is the amount of athletes they have on the field. And once they get those blitz packages in order, they think speed's going to be a really key part of this defense, and they think that might be what kind of helps them on that side of the ball.
Coaches are always talking about, we got to talk about all three phases. So we've talked about two of the phases. I got to ask you about the third phase. So how do special teams look for the Jays heading into tonight's game?
I mean, I haven't technically seen it because you don't see that kind of stuff in Jamborees.
Right,
they
right.
kind of made a joke that they maybe looked a little bit crazy going through special teams warm-ups before the Jamborees, but they made it a big focal point to go through the entire warm-up that they will see tonight and just make sure all the kids are used to it because it's going to be a little bit different. But on the special teams side of the ball, once again, Kendrick Johnson. He's going to be kicking. Alex Wilson will be punting. And then Kendrick's going to be the lead kick returner and punt returner. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Thomas mentioned that they're going to do something a little bit different. Most high school teams have two returners in the back. It seems like Jeff City's going to mostly utilize one returner sets.
Okay.
And just kind of alleviate the opportunities to kick the ball away from Kendrick.
Right.
And they're going to try and force teams to get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. But yeah, Kendrick's barely going to come off the field this year, if at all.
I was going to say, Kendrick better make sure that he gets plenty of rest whenever possible during the non-game days during the week, because it sounds like it's going to be kind of be a taxing season for him. Okay, so you mentioned in terms of the defense with that 3-3-5 maybe being a little bit better suited to handle teams like Elias. Rockbridge. I think that's going to be another team that this will help them against, and that's tonight's opponent, because new to the CMAC this year is Camdenton. I think it's a team that presents a little bit of a different look than some of the other CMAC teams, and I think it's one of those teams that, you know, Tom Racker's mentioned in the Salai's podcast that, you know, they like to sling the ball around, and so, you know, that sounds like 3-3-5 might be a good defense to have against a team like Camdenton tonight.
Yeah, it's 100% a great test early on in the season. Starting the season with a conference game, it won't be like that a couple years from now. That'll fall into week two, but it's going to be a fun start to the season. And they have a lot of question marks over in Camdenton as well. They're replacing their quarterback. They're replacing, I think, two of their top three receivers, their top two rushers, three of their top four tacklers. So they're dealing with a lot of change as well. But yeah, they're gonna line up and empty. They're gonna dink and dunk. They're gonna take shots down the field. It's going to be a really good test for this 3-3-5 early on, and I'm kind of excited to see the Camdenton team. It's expected that Carson Dernan's going to play quarterback, younger brother of Cade Dernan that played quarterback last year, that put up fantastic numbers. Got to know the Dernan family a little bit over the years, especially with the Renegades two summers ago when the oldest brother Cam played for the team. The younger brothers were around a little bit. Great family, fantastic athletes, and from what I hear, Carson's the fastest of the three, and they're known for baseball talent, so they all can sling it. So it's going to be quite fun to watch them, and we'll see how he comes back from a torn ACL last year. That happened kind of late in the football season, but from everything I understand, he's kind of back to full strength, and I'm sure they're expecting big things from him.
We'll get back to the Lakers in a minute when I kind of talk to you in the prediction part of the podcast. But it's one of kind of three different teams that are new to the schedule this year. So let's talk about the other two. So, you know, who else joins the schedule and who else drops off?
So no more Hannibal. Don't have to worry about that trip to Hannibal. Well, I guess it would have been at home this year, but don't have to worry about that. And Moberly and Osage are now off the schedule. Obviously, one of those is getting replaced with Camdenton as a conference game. New opponents on the schedule. Next week, the Jays will see Sullivan at home. And then to round out the regular season, they will travel to Lutheran St. Charles.
Okay.
So new faces on the schedule. Don't know a ton about those teams yet. Haven't really gotten to that prep. This time of year is crazy for me. But yeah, interested to see. Seems like the talent level's jumping up a little bit with those two teams coming on the schedule. It's no longer the smaller opponents. So we'll see how that works out for them. Two winnable games from my understanding, but they definitely won't be easy.
Right, and I do think that you're right. I think it's one of those things where just when you kind of looked at the schedule last year, those were kind of outliers. When take nothing away from Osage or Moberly, they were just definitely, you know, a smaller school than the Jays. You know, maybe not as stern a test as you might like when you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, we want to build towards something, and that's a postseason run. I think those were fine games, but they were, you know, you can learn more, I think, from stepping up the ability of your opponents, and I think that will be the case this year. All right, so let's get back then to tonight's game, and we'll hit you up for a prediction and just say, do the Jays come out on top tonight? And if so, what's the score?
It wouldn't be a podcast with you and me if I didn't have my prediction ready from when I walked in here. I have thought about it all week, and I've gone back and forth. This by no means will be an easy game for Jeff City. Like I mentioned, this is a fantastic test for them early on with a bunch of new pieces, kind of seeing how they match up with a team that I expect to at least be middle of the pack of the CMAC in Camdenton this year. I think the emotions of a brand new coaching staff with a bunch of alumni and these kids getting in front of the home fans week one, I think that'll kind of fuel them tonight and maybe push them to a close victory. So that's what I'm going to predict. And we'll go 28-21 Jefferson City.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.